You are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host. And our fabulous Head Start director, Jessica Coffey, is your host.
Hey, y'all.
What's going on, Jessica?
Not much. We're just coming off of the Juneteenth holiday.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back at it, Cam.
Before that,
it was Father's
Day. Come on, speak on it. I hope you did something wonderful.
We have to give our fathers their props. Happy Father's Day. Well, no.
Oh, what?
I called my dad on the phone.
Oh.
Cam, I'm not driving home 4 hours.
Nope. Did you go home for Mother's Day?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well.
No.
At least
See, what I try to do is if one gets a gift for whatever day, the other one gets a gift. If one doesn't, the other one doesn't.
Oh, really?
I have to be fair.
Wow.
You know, I have to let them know.
You know what?
Your parents,
I love y'all
the same.
Your parents do not listen to the show. It is absolutely clear that they do not listen to the show. I'm going to have to get in touch with your parents.
Oh, no. Please don't.
And I'm ready to pull the rug out from all these shenanigans.
No, because then I wouldn't have stories to tell.
You sure wouldn't. You have better stories to tell.
They would have my head.
Well, I had a fantastic Father's Day.
So tell us about your Father's Day.
Well, my church, we meet on Sundays at 2, so it makes it kind of difficult for us to do anything on a Sunday. So we have gotten smart and we started doing these holidays like Mother's Day and Father's Day on Saturday. So Saturday, one of my favorite meals is meatloaf.
Really?
Girl, meatloaf. No. Let me be very, very clear. My wife's meatloaf.
Okay.
How about that? See that? It's a big difference. And so, yeah.
Does she watch the show? Or listen to the show?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. But yeah, she should. But yeah, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, stewed tomatoes, cabbage, cornbread.
That makes me think of like meals. Have you ever see like the family shows back in the day?
Mm. Yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like they
yeah.
always ate meatloaf as a family. Meatloaf,
whatever.
Mashed potatoes.
We don't give meatloaf very often.
Meatloaf is a special meal in your house?
It's becoming that. Can you believe that? I'm like, come on, man. I want this, you know. But anyway, we had that wonderful meal. And the girls, they were out for tears this year.
Oh, really?
Oh,
what did they do, Cam?
They came hard trying to make us men. So it's me, my brother-in-law, and my son. We all, you know, celebrate Father's Day together.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, they celebrate us. And my daughter and my wife were really sappy this year. They was pulling for tears. And they had, like, gifts, like, with people who had died and, and you know.
That were special to you.
Yes, okay. On shirts and hats and stuff. And we was kind of like, oh, my God, you know. And you're on display because, you know, you open up the gifts and everybody's looking and tears is flowing. I mean, it was emotional. Now, our Christmases are really emotional, but Father's Day, for some reason, was very emotional. But we had a fantastic time.
I'm glad
time.
You had a great Father's Day.
Yeah, we went outside and shot Nerf guns and water guns and cornhole and
oh,
all
that's
that.
Fun.
Yeah,
that's
it fun. Was a really good day. So,
yay. See? Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers
Thank
out
you.
There.
Thank you. It's a little late. It's a little, you know.
Yeah, it's late, but it's
so
still.
So you showed great honor and respect to your father by calling him. Okay.
Yes. And I said, did you get that $1 million I gave mama to give you?
Lies you tell. Lies you tell. Okay, yeah. I think it's time for a coffee break.
So for today's coffee break, you glow differently when you're confident, and when your confidence is fueled by belief in yourself instead of validation from others. Basically, Cam, what I'm saying is you have to have the confidence within. You know, I know, you know, it's great for people to give you that encouragement, but not necessarily seeking a validation right. from someone else.
So important.
Knowing within you that you have what it takes to accomplish whatever you need or want.
That's right. That's right. Because if you're seeking validation from someone else, you'll always be seeking.
Yeah.
You'll never be settled. Yeah. You'll always be seeking. And it's so important to understand who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's not connected to what other people think. It's not connected to what other people want from you. Uh-huh. You are, you know.
And that who you are, connecting with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can ask you and you can be like, that's not a great idea. But that's according to you,
that's
your
right.
opinion, who you are.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah,
that's a
I just think, you know, during coffee breaks, it's looking like I want people to get connected with themselves.
You sure are. You are self-reflecting all over
Listen,
the place.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's good stuff, though. It's good stuff, you know. And this whole podcast is designed to encourage and inform our Head Start parents and give them something, you know, to look forward to.
Right.
And, hey, coffee breaks is what's doing it for me. Maybe y'all let us know if these coffee breaks are doing anything for you.
I feel like we need to sip some coffee or something.
Yeah, I'm not a coffee drinker. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Well, today we want to do things just a little bit different. Today, the Head Start highlight word of the day is...
Validation.
Validation. Y'all heard it here. You know what to do. Validation is the Head Start highlight word of the day.
I said that so seriously.
I know, because you validating something. Woo.
I said that so seriously.
Yes, you did. You was like, it's time to put the brakes down. All right. We've got a fantastic show of information today.
Yes.
Yes, we do. What's the day
so
show
about? We have this show. We have the most guests we've ever had. We have three guests.
Look at that.
But I'm going to introduce our first two guests, both from the Lexington Fayette Urban County Health Department. We have Catherine Lowe, who is a registered nurse with the health department, and also Kevin Hall, who is a spokesperson for the health department. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, you all. How you doing?
Well, we're glad to be here. This is a wonderful setup and a wonderful opportunity to really speak to such an important group of caregivers.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You know, Cam, I started my days at the health department.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Right after out of grad school as a WIC nutritionist. Kevin was there when I was there. And, you know, I thought I was going to be I was going to spend a little bit of time at the health department. Then I was become this famous nutritionist.
Right, right, right.
So I'm not famous, but I'm still here. but we are going to be talking about matter of fact, I want to know the proper name, because you hear whooping cough, you hear whooping cough. What is it?
All the above.
Oh, okay.
That's I'd never heard the whooping part of it until one of our former nurses, Lois Davis, referred to it as a whooping cough. And it really depends where you grew up.
Right.
For me, what did your grandmother call it? So that's really how my family is, whooping cough. Pertussis is the formal name for it. We try to stick with it as pertussis, or we tell people whooping cough. Part of the reason for that, and we can talk more about this as we get into this discussion, is what we're seeing here in Lexington right now, the cough isn't even present in a lot of the cases.
Because
the bulk of the cases, we have 32 so far, it's since April 26th in Lexington. And to put that in perspective, the last 5 years before that, we had 16 total.
Oh, wow.
So we've doubled what we've seen in the previous 5 years combined. But what the bulk of the cases right now are people who have been vaccinated. And so the vaccine is offering some protection in this case, and it's not giving them that cough. So we don't want people to hear whooping cough, think I don't have a cough, therefore I don't have it, and not get checked out.
Mm. Right. So can we talk about, you know, what whooping cough is, some of the symptoms? Because you said, you know, you have people who don't have the cough. I've had a 3-week cough now.
Oh Lord,
oh my goodness. But it's bronchitis. Let me say that. Bronchitis, allergies, asthma.
Let me say
it's the worst. But Give us a little bit more detail about whooping cough.
Catherine, from the nurse perspective.
Good morning. So some of the symptoms, you think of it as a cold, a respiratory virus, some of those same symptoms. So a runny nose, could or could not have a cough. If you've been vaccinated, it's less likely you'll start out with a cough. If you do have a cough, it's usually mild, and within 2 to 3 weeks, it turns into a high-pitched, severe cough. Mm-hmm. If you're coughing so hard, you could break your ribs, low-grade fever. So especially if you've been around someone with pertussis, you would want to get checked. If you mm-hmm. have symptoms for longer than 2 weeks, you would want to get checked.
Gosh. Now, is this something that's primarily being in kids, or is it just everyone?
Well, what we're seeing right now in Lexington is that it's mostly in school-age children. So I believe it's 30 of the 32 cases. It's either 30 of the 32 or 29 of the 32 are in school-age children. And the biggest reason for that is babies are getting this mm-hmm. as part of the routine childhood vaccination schedule. And then it's required for entry in schools in Kentucky. So most of the younger school kids have it and have that protection. You do need a booster at age 11. Mm-hmm. But this booster weakens over time. And it's supposed to last up to 10 years, but you're seeing it's really not lasting that long. It's going to be more like 5 to 7 years if it gets to that point. So think about it. Somebody's 11 years old. They get the booster. They're in school. Even 5, 6, 7 years later, that's those 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and that's who is getting this right now. Mm-hmm. Now, the bulk of them, I think, again, 30 out of the 32 have been vaccinated. So this is not a problem we're seeing. This is not an outbreak that's being created by the unvaccinated, which is the first thing people think of whenever there's a disease outbreak. Mm-hmm. This is an outbreak that's really among people whose vaccine has gotten weaker, mm-hmm. and we need people to be mindful of that so they can get the booster.
Speaking of outbreak, How does the health department determine an outbreak?
This has been one that's been fascinating for me because I work in the communication side. So hearing it from our epidemiologists, it's like being in a classroom and getting that lesson. So different illnesses have different thresholds for what they consider an outbreak. So if you heard 32 cases of the flu, you wouldn't blink an eye of that. We get that per day during flu season.
Right.
But for pertussis, it's considered an outbreak when you have 2 or more cases that originate from the same location. So 6 weeks ago in Lexington, we had it in one high school and then a separate high school and then a third high school. Even though we had 3 or more cases, they weren't because they were all at individual schools, right. It was an outbreak status. As soon as we got a second case from one of those schools, that's when it went to that alert phase.
So this whooping cough, it's something that we've already dealt with in the past and said this is designated, this needs a vaccine. What made us do a vaccine for whooping cough?
Catherine, do you have information?
Well, it can cause, if you're not treated, mm-hmm. It can cause brain inflammation, ear infections. It can even cause death, especially if you're an infant under age 2 or under 2 months. There's a percentage, I think 1,000 cases every year of infants that end up in the hospital. And so it's to prevent that, to help prevent severe cases of brain inflammation, seizures, and then worse.
So this has pretty much been under control, and now we're seeing outbreaks. I don't want to do the wrong terminology, but we're seeing outbreaks, more outbreaks than we have in the past. So it's time for us to get reeducated and figure out what's going on, right?
Yeah, and a lot of this happened with so many different illnesses during the COVID pandemic is that caregivers got thrown off their schedule. So mm-hmm. you probably have a lot of people listening who just couldn't get to a medical provider because mm-hmm. the limitations that were in place, whether it's places being closed. And so kids got thrown off of that schedule.
Right.
So we're seeing that not only with pertussis, but all all illnesses that are vaccine preventable. In this case, in the current outbreak, it really is just showing some of the limitations of the booster. The booster is effective, but it's effective when it is taken in the proper time frames.
Right. Gotcha.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we're talking more about the whooping cough.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly. So, to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Are listening to Look Who's Talking, and we're talking about pertussis, or aka whooping cough. We are here with Kevin Hall from the health department, who is the health department spokesperson, and also Sarah McMahon, who we are very familiar with within our Head Start program. She is the child care health consultant, but she is also a former policy counsel representative. Thanks for being here.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. So before the break, Kevin mentioned something that is very important. You were talking about how several families kind of were behind on their immunizations because of COVID, because doctor's offices were closed. And that's something that we saw in our program. You know, we were like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, a Head Start requirement that everyone is up to date on immunizations. However, like, doctor's offices were closed and we couldn't get families up to date. So, you know, it's good to know that people are, you know, trying to get those immunizations back up. What I want to ask is, how does whooping cough spread?
So I can start. Thank you again for having me on the show. So basically, it spreads very easily through coughing. So respiratory droplets, similar to a common cold or other things. The side effects of what will happen, though, are so much more severe. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, when we say there's an outbreak and we're encouraging vaccination, we really want to make sure people understand that even though the symptoms at the beginning, as Catherine talked about earlier, kind of mimic that common cold with, you know, sneezing and coughing and all that type of stuff, it actually can get much more severe, but that doesn't happen until about 3 to 4 weeks after you've kind of got those initial symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that people understand how easily it's spread and the importance of vaccination. As Kevin said, these are wearing off a bit sooner, it seems like, as we're seeing. My daughter actually just got her 11-year-old shots, and she had to get the shot for pertussis. And so I'm very glad she's protected. But I also can see how easy it was during the pandemic for a lot of that to get missed. Absolutely. Not because people wanted to, but because we were in unprecedented times. Right. There was a lot going on. And
yeah.
So I really think that this is a time for anybody who's listening to just stop and think, have I gotten my shot for that
right.
yet?
Right.
Even if I've gotten it before as an adult, am I due for a booster? Don't be like my mom, who will say she has not gotten her since 1978 because she's scared of it, and she's scared to get a vaccination. So I've been doing a lot of education with her too.
Uh-huh.
but I know that's a common thing, is that people think if they already got it once, it probably lasts, you know, forever. I don't need to get a booster.
That would be me.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I wasn't thinking
mindset.
I needed it.
Exactly. And so, and I think a lot of people get educated on that when they're pregnant or have somebody in the family who's pregnant. Because when I got pregnant, I had to get another vaccination for that. Mm-hmm. And they recommended that everybody in my family that would be around my new baby also get vaccinated.
Gotcha.
Had I not gotten pregnant, I'm not sure I would have known how important that vaccination was to get a booster.
And this may not be a question for you, but like when I go to my primary, they tell me, okay, it's time for this, it's time for the colon, it's time for this, it's time for that. Are they going to be telling me it's time for a whooping cough?
That's a great question, and it's one. Let me approach the answer in a different direction. Is that we don't think that everyone in the community needs to go out and get the the shot for this. It's really important for, as Sarah mentioned, if you are pregnant or you're going to be around a newborn baby, you need to get the shot. It doesn't matter. So if you're a grandparent and you had a one grandbaby born last year, still go ahead and get the shot. They're telling people every time there's a pregnancy to get it. If you are in one of the high risk groups, so again, that's going to be the children, but they're already getting it as part of their routine. Senior adults, so people who are 60 and older, really need to be mindful of this. And anybody with an the compromised immune system, so an underlying condition, so heart, lung issues, mm-hmm. which really covers a lot of people here in Kentucky.
Right.
But if you are an otherwise healthy adult, or you really just don't need to run to your primary care provider and say, hey, do I need to get this shot? Mm-hmm. It's just you're unlikely to have the complications from it. And honestly, the people who are the most at risk from the complications are, as Sarah and Catherine have mentioned, it's the very young members of our community. It's the kids.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the young members, child care, those type settings. What are some ways that they can either take preventative measures in their centers or give families, you know, just some tips on how to prevent whooping cough?
So just to explain a little bit about our program with Child Care Health Consultation, I go in to child care centers. I cover 12 counties, and I go in and I teach things. One of the number one things I teach is diapering, disinfecting, and hand washing.
Mm-hmm.
Just disinfecting properly and sanitizing and washing your hands, also covering your cough. All those little kind of basic things are what makes such a difference within a child care center to keep things from spreading within it. And I always tell people when I'm teaching the staff during class, if you learn how to wash your hands correctly, because everyone thinks they wash their hands correctly till they take my class, and then they're like, oh, I wasn't washing my hands correctly. But we make it fun. We do a little game with it with glow germ powder. And so I'd be happy to do that sometime for the show if anyone wants to see what that looks like. So when they model that good hand washing behavior, that good cough covering, all that kind of stuff, that is going to keep their center much healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And then kids, being kids especially, they love to go home and teach something that they've learned,
right,
that they catch their parent or grandparent or whoever not doing correctly.
Right.
And so that's a good opportunity. If you teach them and they're like, now make sure, you know, when you go home, watch and see if everybody's doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they can then, it just spreads out into this big public health thing where you're preventing things all throughout the community, just within your child care center and branching out from there to the families.
So you said before that it's not labeled an outbreak until you get multiple in one site. So when you find that site, what do you all do? Or is there any protocol after, you know, we found an outbreak in a site?
Yeah, we really caught a break here in Lexington that school was in session when this started. It's both good and bad that the summer was 2 weeks away when this really happened. The bad of it is that you lose the communication with the caregivers, because what happens in the schools, they can send letters out and put it on the infinite campus or put letters in backpacks, however they want to get that message out. The good part of the summer, though, is that then the kids are outdoors, so it's going to be a little harder to spread it than when you're walking down the hallway with people.
Right.
So what we work really closely with Fayette County Public Schools. We work really closely with the private schools here in Lexington. And so when we knew there was the first case, it was immediately notifying the proper people at the school system, working with each individual school to provide information. Because what we've also learned is not just putting a blanket of information out mm-hmm. and just saying that we hope people get it. It's then doing an investigation. Was this child involved in extracurricular activities? Right. Were they... It's this testing time of year where they at PSATs, SATs, ACTs, any sort of additional testing, making sure that who else could have been exposed from this. Right. And then if they were, say that they were on an academic team or in band, it's getting specific messaging to those caregivers and those mm-hmm. leaders in the school system as well. You run the risk of overdoing it. You don't want to provide too much where it gets tuned out. But when you can really pinpoint to people who are at the highest risk of exposure, then you can get that concentrated messaging.
Got you. Are there any requirements on, like, say if it is in a child development center, sanitizing, having cleaners come in, what's that process?
So we don't have a specific thing for what they have to do as far as having cleaners come in,
uh-huh.
but we would definitely recommend, you know, if you're seeing an outbreak within your center, you know, a center is, you know, its own business and they kind of decide about shutting down and, you know, taking a day off where they would do a deep clean like mm-hmm. that. But we definitely recommend, if not taking a day off, at least making sure after hours you are really disinfecting everything. And that comes down to making sure the contact times are right mm-hmm. on your disinfecting products, which is something a lot of people miss, both at home and at childcare, is some of these newer products, especially the more natural ones, require a 10-minute contact time to disinfect a surface. So compared to a lot of the bleaches and mm-hmm. stuff, which have taken more like 2 to 5 minutes. And they have to sit on there.
Okay.
Yeah, sitting yeah. on there, staying wet mm-hmm. to kill all the germs. So just making sure, and that's where they can always reach out to me
yeah.
and Catherine through CCHC, both child care centers and parents. We answer questions for both all the time related to that.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So can you tell our guests what is your contact information if they do have questions for you?
Yes, they are welcome to contact me, and I will have it written out if you guys want to mm-hmm. put it up later. But it's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, B as in boy, dot McMahon, M-C-M-A-H-A-N, at lfchd.org.
I can also throw in one that will make it a little easier for people to remember that, too. Or they can send something to lfchd at lfchd.org, and it can get forwarded to Sarah or the appropriate people.
That would be much easier.
Yeah. He's the media guy. I'm sitting here like, oh, there's got to be an easier yeah. way.
One thing I want to jump, because I thought you were going to ask this mm-hmm. about when the outbreak starts, and I think this is a really important thing for people. You're going to hear about whooping cough throughout the summer and probably into the fall, mm-hmm. because just like there's specific criteria to go into an outbreak status, there's specific things that have to get met to get out of outbreak status.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for this to be, for this current outbreak to be considered over, it's 0 cases reported in 42 days.
Oh, okay.
So that's, we could go 41 days, have one new case, and then it
start
continues.
All
and you, and so we are likely to be in this for a while. We may see 6 cases 1 week. We may see 2 cases 1 week. And we're anticipating, though, that count to continue to grow, because what we are also learning is people are listening to programs like this. Mm-hmm. They're being mindful. Oh, I thought I had to have a cough for this. I should go. I've been sick for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Let me go get tested for it. Ask for it for their provider. And then they're testing positive for pertussis. So it's a cycle. They learn more about it, and then they get asked to get tested and test positive, which is a good thing, because the sooner you find out you're positive for it, the sooner you can get on antibiotics to get treated. But then it's also, it keeps you from going out in public or around others mm-hmm. and potentially spreading this and making it an even larger outbreak.
Absolutely. That's some great information. Is there anything going on with you all this summer? You all doing any outreach activities, anything going on besides taking care of this whooping cough?
That one of the big things we'll have is if you go to any of the Lexington farmers markets, we will be at different locations throughout the summer. Our WIC program will be there. So if you're a WIC participant, please stop by to find out how you can use those benefits toward fresh produce. Or if you just want to learn more about the WIC program, women, infants, and children. So we'd be happy to help you out.
Sounds great. Thank you all so much for what you do, coming on the show and giving our Head Start parents a wonderful, informative show. All right. You have been listening to Look Who's Talking. We appreciate you sharing the show. We appreciate you telling other people about it. We will see you when we see you.